For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Sean, the lead pastor here, and you are looking really good today. Tell the person next to you, look great today. You look great in your Easter best, and we're so glad that you're with us. I hope you don't mind all the enthusiasm this morning, but Easter is the celebration of everything we believe, because Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're excited about that. And we're not only excited about that, but I'll tell you personally, I'm looking around seeing all my friends and people I love from both our church family and our community. And I'm just excited all of you are here today. It's just great to have you. And Easter is the one Sunday a year that almost everybody from our church family shows up on the same day. So we're pretty excited you're here. And I love that because it's my joy to be praying for you always and thinking about you. Since we are all together, when you came in with your family guide, could you pull out this Easter survey as something we do every Easter as a way to help us serve you better? As you're pulling this out, I want to look right into the camera and say happy Easter, glorious resurrection to all of our over 100 online viewers that will be with us today. Can we just give them a big round of applause? Happy Easter to you. Every Sunday we have about or over 100 online viewers as people from the military are sharing Easter with us online, as well as those homebound and in the hospital. And then we have family members traveling and serving across the world. We love you. We're thinking about you today, and we're glad that we get to celebrate together. This Easter survey is part of our commitment to be better together. So if you wouldn't mind, would you fill this out today? Question one is, how did you come to get to Cornerstone? And that will help us out just so we know how to encourage our church family to reach out to other people in our community. What's the best way to do that? Number two is, I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about. And we've already got our sermon series planned throughout the summer. But whatever you put here will help us to know how to shape those sermons and even think about possible small groups to offer. And then question three may seem a little odd to you if you're a first-time guest, but Easter is all about new beginnings. And so I want to make sure that I'm faithful to help you think about the next steps, because there's no such thing as a new beginning without a next step. And so my commitment here at Cornerstone is that I hope we have good services, but what I'm really praying for is you to have a better life. And so I want everything we're doing this morning to help you tomorrow morning be a better family member, a better worker, a better follower of Christ, a more healthy person. And so I want you to be thinking about next steps, because all of us continue to need to take next steps. Don't worry about filling number three out right now. Maybe by the end of the message, God may put something on your heart. And we'll also, at the end of the message, look at that A, B, C, and D. So just kind of slide that in your Bible or back in your family guide. And we'll be looking at that in a moment. So as we get together, we need to remember what Easter is all about. Because as much as I love me some marshmallow peeps and some chocolate bunnies, the truth is that Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the victory over death. We just sang about it. It brings to all who, what's that last word? Believe. That's a really important word. And there are two choices this Sunday. You can celebrate Easter or you can live Easter. And so we want to make sure everyone in this room is living Easter. And there's an important call to believe. In remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross, I'm going to ask you just out loud, would you read the next two scriptures with me? Follow me along here, read out loud with me. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God and one another. That's really important. We're going to talk about that one another, because I want you to leave today saying, you know what, I think I understand why the resurrection of Jesus isn't just important for religious people or for history. I think I figured out why it's important for me and the relationships I'm in. That's the goal of the message today. Read this next one with me. If we believe and are united with Jesus in his death, we will also be raised to victory and new life as he was. That's the promise That's the promise. And all of us in this room, we're very different people. We've all got different stories. You saw today, we even sang in different languages because part of our community is celebrating all those who speak Spanish. But we all want victory, no matter what language you use. And, you know, if you think about it, we live in a world that is all about seeing victory, because we love when people fail one year, but then have victory the next year. Can I have a little UVA love in the house? Yeah. What a difference a year makes, right? Because we love when people go from failure to victory. Like millions and millions of people will watch that and celebrate that. We are in a culture that is constantly obsessed with dreaming about and imagining what it looks like for good to have victory over evil. And we can't possibly imagine evil winning in the end game, right? All right, April 26th, everybody. We love when someone goes from defeat to all of a sudden victory again. This is a great crowd. Go Tiger. Okay. Because it's in all of us. It's in all of us to not let defeat be the final word. And that's what Easter is all about. That death is not the final word. When everything is hopeless and everything you think and look to give you hope is gone, there's still victory left ahead. And Jesus defeated the one thing you and I don't know how to handle in life. Death. We've defeated it some in the way that we have understood how to see someone pass into the next life. Because you and I know that all those victories are great to celebrate, but there are more important victories in life, right? There are more important battles to face than what we're watching on TV. A matter of fact, as one philosopher said, the hardest battle you will ever have to fight is between who you are now and who you should be. Good word. Because, you know, for you and I, and what the Bible would say, it's the battle between who you are, and I like to think of the word sin and selfishness as the same thing, because that's where all sin comes from, selfishness. It's like, it's this issue of, it's who I am now, and I'm kind of doing things my way versus living out the life God has for me to be, because I'm supposed to be a person who's not defined by the last battle I lost in life that no one saw, that no one knows about, but it's defining my life. And I want you to hear that we can come in and have this kind of religious thought about the resurrection, or we could realize everything in us longs for it, because that defeat is not supposed to be the last word in our life. And I want you to think about this too, because in the end, it's awesome to be a fan of watching someone, and they win and lose, and honestly, besides a t-shirt and some conversation on Monday, it really doesn't affect your life. There's a difference between seeing those people have victory, and this is a picture of some of my kids and my wife and I, and the people that matter most to me having victory. And I would say this, and it's super important, that the battles I'm facing that nobody knows about, it's not just so a bunch of fans can go, good job, Sean, you won. You know, every battle I win or lose, my kids feel, whether they know about it or not. Because, see, there are some battles in life that are way more important than the millions that of what people are watching on TV. And the resurrection of Jesus is all about you winning those battles. So, UVA, yeah, Tiger, yeah, that's awesome. Man, what I really get excited, the reason why I'm a little loud singing about victory in Jesus, because the most important battles of my life have been won not by me, but by him. And that's what I celebrate. And I don't want to just celebrate Easter. I want to live it out again and again and again. And so what I want to do today is, again, my commitment is not that we have a good service. My commitment is that you leave here with having a greater victory in your life. So I want to take the whole idea of resurrection. I want to focus on something really practical this morning. I want to focus on what it means to believe in Jesus and his resurrection for my most important relationships. And as a church, we've actually been praying over our most important relationships for the past 8 weeks. So all of you should be tracking with it really closely. Because this is what matters most. These are the battles that I've got to win. And really, I don't have the ability. When I'm selfish, in the end, I'm going to choose me. But Jesus and his resurrection, even when everything has died and hope has died and that's over and I messed that up too, it's a dead end, it's a disaster. No, there's a resurrection from Jesus that can make my heart sing again. And so we're going to look, we started this story last week, and we're going to look at focusing on Martha because she's a person in this story. Here's the backdrop of the story we're going to read. It is in your family guide, and I'm going to invite you just to read silently along with me. The story is this. Martha, Lazarus, and Mary, they all believe in Jesus and have known him for a long time. Lazarus gets sick. They go to tell Jesus this, and Lazarus dies. Jesus, who they believe in, has not prevented a relationship and it hasn't prevented death from happening. And I want you to hear this, in their family. We're going to read a story about a woman who's trying to figure out what it means to believe in Jesus, though the very thing she hoped for her family has died. So that's how we're going to read this. So I'm just going to invite you to take a nice deep breath as we remember that Jesus has something more than we can imagine, more than we know how to get in life. He's got a victory for us. And I want you to put yourself in the place of Martha as I read these passages now. And as you think about where you're at, don't think about the defeat of the last battle you lost. Think about the victory that Jesus is offering you. So it says this, when Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, Jesus said, I want you to notice these words, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. All of us have been in that spot. It's like, God, I believe in you. Where are you? Okay, we've all been there. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. Notice what he's saying. Even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus asked Martha the question, I think Jesus is asking us this question today. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. But notice how the story goes. She just said, yeah, absolutely, I believe in you. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb where Lazarus was. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, Jesus said. What are the next two words? But, Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came to life and came out. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This story, true story, this is what Jesus did. He is alive. He still does this. And he does this for you and I. And so I want to look at what this would be, and I just want to share 3 thoughts with you. First of all, to believe in Jesus and his resurrection means we don't give up on relationships that have died. You notice what Jesus said when he hears that Lazarus is sick? He says, oh, this won't end in death. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I read that, I was like, excuse me, Jesus, he did die. But there's a big difference between Jesus saying this will not end in death versus this will not lead to death. Because look, in this world, this is so imperfect. And last time I checked, you and I, we're pretty imperfect. And we've got the ability to contribute to a lot of things dying in our life, including a lot of relationships. And there are things we can look back and said, I was part of why that no longer lives. And look, we've just got to understand that it's not the final word. that Jesus looks at your relationships that you care about, mine, and he sees that they're dead in the tomb and they've been that way for a while. And you know what Jesus says to us? It's not going to end there. I know you're there, but this is not where it finishes. Because why? I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I've got the ability to overcome death that you don't have the ability to. Would you believe in me to do it? And that's what Jesus says to Martha. Because Martha comes out and says, man, if you were here, it wouldn't have died. And Jesus is like, let's have a conversation about if it's living right now. Let's have a conversation about, can it be what I want it to be? And you and I, we live in this culture where in family and long relationships, the world says, yeah, just run away from them. Just change. Churches, right? Just change. Oh, did that die? Just change. It's like, no. Don't you understand that in every season, every year, a winter comes and nothing looks like it's alive anymore. But there's a resurrection in spring. There's a resurrection that Jesus wants to give us. And if we say we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then where relationships are not where they're going to finish up. Because to believe in Jesus and his resurrection means that we ask Jesus to make dead relationships alive, catch this, not bad relationships work. Wow, there's a difference between those two. You see, we tend to be people who have come to church and say, God, I've done a lot of bad things. Help me do good things. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is like, no. The reason why you're doing all those bad things, because everything that I meant for you to have is dead in your life. And if you'll let me bring you new life, the good stuff will handle. What you need is not bad to good. What you need is dead to alive. And that's what I do. I'm the resurrection. I can make things alive, even though you look and say, it's all dead, Jesus. What do I do with it? No. I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe that even when someone dies, even when that thing dies, it will yet live? Do you believe that? That's what Jesus is asking you and I, because he is the one who gives victory to the place to say, man, I don't know how to win. I don't know how to win there. It's like, invite me into this. Invite me into that marriage or into that family situation. Invite me into that church experience you're having. Let me show you. Now, my wife was in first service. I said, you know, my wife could probably get up here and tell her how several times what she thought she was going to get out of the marriage and this wonderful man died, right? It was like, wow, that's not happening. I thought he'd be a little bit more in that area of life than he was. Okay, it's like, yeah, welcome to real relationship. We come to the end of ourselves. But it doesn't mean that it's not meant for God. It just means that God needs to do more than we can do in it. And I want you to hear that today. It's not ending there. That's not what the resurrection is about. We tend to try to ask God to fix our relationships the way I fix my plumbing in my house. You ever been there? Like, God, would you just make that work? And God's like, really? You're asking me to make that work? Yeah, no, would you please make that work? And God's like, that needs to die. I've got a whole new way that can happen. But you and I, we do this with God. We're like, God, it's really bad, but just make it work. No. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm the resurrection life. We don't got to duct tape this puppy. No, it can be brand new. That person, you put a few Band-Aids on them, I'll kind of half apologize, or we'll just not talk about that anymore. It's like, and God, just make it okay. It's like, no, I don't want to make bad work. Man, I want to make dead alive. You're right, there are some things that need to die. That attitude, that bitterness, you keep replaying it in your head. You know, we always tend to think the best of ourselves, but ask everybody else to minimize our worst, and then we talk about the other person, we maximize their worst, and minimize their best. It's like, why do we do that? It's like, because we don't know how to do it by ourselves. And there's resurrection. We don't got to duct tape it. We could say, hey, Jesus, I've made an absolute mess of this thing. Could this just go in a tomb, and could you just speak and make something brand new happen? And he can. That's what he does. That's what he does. To believe in Jesus and his resurrection means we obey Jesus. I want you to hear this. In relationship more than in religion. Did you get what happened? Jesus says, Martha, do you believe? She's like, oh, absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And King James, this and that. And then it comes to the moment where Jesus says, well, since you believe, I want you to roll away that stone. I want that relationship, your brother, I want you to believe I can do something. But, Lord, may I say this ever so delicately? Sometimes our buts are really keeping us from what Jesus has for us, right? Right? But, Lord, well, gee, I totally believe in service at church, in my devotional, I totally believe. But, Lord, I'm not doing that relationship. But that's dead. That's going to stink if I try to deal with that. We've got this kind of but, Lord, idea. It's like, no, see, when Jesus said, hey, do you believe I'm the resurrection? Martha's like, absolutely. That's my religion. That's my belief. I totally believe that. But then she got to a moment where he said, okay, in this relationship, this is what I want you to do. And all of a sudden, it wasn't I believe anymore. It was yes, Lord, in the first. Now it's but, Lord. And you and I want you to hear this because, again, this service is not nearly as important as about what you're about to live out for the next few years of your life. And it's really good. I mean, I pray you believe in here, but you really got to believe in those relationships. That's where Jesus wants us to believe. Because, and notice what Jesus says, because Martha says, well, yeah, I totally believe except in this relationship. and Jesus is like, wait a minute, Martha. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The world says seeing is believing. Jesus says, uh-uh. You're going to have to believe if you want to see. Because Jesus doesn't call out. Jesus doesn't call out until a few people took their feet and went over to a stone and said, here you go. Right? That's when Jesus, believing leads to seeing in Jesus. Because you and I, we've kind of been indoctrinated with this idea of belief. Jesus, I so believe and hope this is going to work. Well, maybe we don't cross our fingers. Maybe we fold our hands with the same attitude and our feet still aren't moving. God, I really, could you just make it a nice funeral? And Jesus is like, no, death is not the end of that relationship. See, I think instead of this relationship, this picture of like, this is what Jesus says, believe, I think Jesus means this. And I love this picture for two reasons. One, because it was the exact outfit I was planning to wear this Easter Sunday, so that was ironic. And number two, this guy, his name is Blondin, and he's one of my favorite all-time showmen in the history of history. See, this dude was in Europe and came over to America in about 1850, and he was a tightrope walker. And he came over, and he became a sensation in America by being the first to tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he just wasn't a good athlete. He was a great showman because he would regularly do this, and the crowds got bigger and bigger because he always upped the game. He'd go backwards, sack over his head. He'd do all these crazy things. Well, one time, as history will tell us, he says, "Don't you got to come this time. I'm going to do it because I'm going to do something you'll never forget." So sure enough, the crowds are all on the one side, and as his tradition, the way he started out his show was they'd all be there. He'd kind of rev them up. And then he would do what you pictured here. He would walk across what nobody else wanted to walk across, and then he'd come on back. And as he came back, man, the crowd would just get hyped up, and he'd finish up all dramatic, right? And he'd says, "I am Blondin the Great," and they'd all go crazy. "Yeah, you're great. You're awesome." And then he'd say this, "Do you believe I'm the greatest?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, we believe you're the greatest." And then he said, "Do you believe I can do anything on a tightrope?" And they said, "Yeah, we believe you can do anything on a tightrope." He said, "Do you believe I can take someone on my back and go across the tightrope and back?" And I'm like, "Yeah, we totally believe." And he said, "Which one of you is getting on my back?" And it got real quiet. True story. Now, here's the end of the story. It happened. Here's the bad news. That's his business manager. Because nobody would get on. The crowd that said they believed, "Yeah, we believe. Oh, we totally believe. We believe." Nobody nobody'd get on.
We don't believe that much.
Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you can do anything. I believe you're amazing. Hey, would you trust me? Would you put everything on me in that relationship and let me go across to where you don't think you can go? Would you let me take you where you can't imagine ever getting to in that relationship? I believe I'm maybe not that much. See, that's believing. And I would just say, I would say it like this. Don't just believe in Jesus. Believe Jesus. Be willing. Oh, yeah, but it's been this way for years. It's been 4 days. It ain't ever going to change. No, would you be willing to trust me and get on? And we're going to take one step at a time. And as we take that step, it's going to be this balancing act between the practical of just, I'm just going to do this because Jesus, this is how I love and forgive. And okay, at some point you're going to resurrect this because I don't think my steps are going to, like, I'm just going to hang on. You know, history records that right before Blondin went on that tightrope with this guy on his back, he said, this is the instructions he gave him. He said, now when we do this and you feel us leaning and falling, don't try to save yourself. Don't try to balance it out yourself. If you do that, we're going to die. What I need you to do is trust me to keep the balance we need to get across. That's what he told him. That's what Jesus is telling us. And so look, we're about to finish up. The resurrection is for you and me. We don't want to just celebrate it. We want to live it out. We want to say, Jesus, in that place where that has died, my family, the places I care about the most, but Lord, hey, didn't I tell you if you believed in me, if you would believe all those thoughts, come on, step out with me. Jesus can take relationships that are totally broken and make them amazing and brand new. And if you don't believe me, I want you to hear the story of two of our church members, Tyshawn and Jasmine.
So I grew up in the area of Hampton, Newport News, a lot of violence, gangs, impoverished ghetto area. A lot of the guys in my neighborhood, they influenced the things that I grew up around and that surrounded me as far as women, drugs, lust, money. My whole life revolved around that type of stuff. I was more cunning with my approach, but the end result was the same, you know, to kill, to steal, destroy. And so out of majority of my friends, I'm one of the only ones who didn't end up dead or in prison.
I was in many relationships, even same-sex relationships. And then I met Tyshawn, and we started sleeping together immediately. And every time after the act, I would have a sense of guilt. And I didn't understand why. I would try to justify it by saying, you know, I'm in love. But it just increased. And so did numbing substances like alcohol and marijuana. I started relying on it just so that I could be intimate. And of course, I didn't understand because I was attracted to him, but I lost the desire. And so eventually I started crying out, just trying to understand what was going on and why I was feeling those feelings. And I felt like God was speaking to me. And so I started questioning him a little bit more. And he was really calling me, but I didn't know it at the time. And one day on Facebook, I saw a former classmate, Kenny Mason. He had posted something about God, and I messaged him immediately, asking him to call me, and he did. I told him about the situation I was in, about me and Tyshawn and my search for God. He prayed for me, and he introduced me to his then-girlfriend, Naima. Kenny and Naima told me that Jesus was so merciful that they could have died in their sins, and that really hit me. Jesus died for us so that we could live. And so I chose to stand firm, and I told Tyshawn that I was going to go all in for God, and I would do it alone if he didn't want to seek God for himself.
Around the same time, my baby sister died, 18 years old, of a very rare cancer. And so I started questioning everything about God, about life. You know, when I saw her body, I asked myself, you know, what what was in her body, you know? Was it just the empty shell? You know, what was it exactly? So when Jazz came to me and started, you know, telling me that we couldn't be together because, you know, we were living in fornication, I told her, you know, the Bible isn't true. The Bible is, it's a myth, it's a fairy tale. I didn't tell her, but I wanted to start studying the Bible in order to prove to her that the Bible was false. Before then, I had never studied the Bible. No one ever told me about Jesus. No one ever told me the gospel. And so when I started studying the Bible to try to find ammunition to use against her, the things that Jesus said started to, you know, penetrate my heart in ways that I couldn't deal with at the time. He started to say, like, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the only way for you to get to God. Those things weren't as if he was speaking in the Bible, but as if he was speaking directly to me. And so I started to see myself as being sinful. Before then, I thought that I was a pretty good person because of, you know, the things that I grew up around. I thought I turned out pretty well. But from reading the scriptures, I found out that, you know, I wasn't a good person and that, you know, I was very sinful in the eyes of God. You know, I'm reading about this Jesus person who, you know, claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be the only way to God. And not only that, but after being tortured and nailed to a cross, he rose up 3 days after that. And so I knew that if the things that he was saying was true, that if he could resurrect his own life, that he could resurrect my life and make me a new person.
On July 6, 2012, Kenny Mason, he came and he baptized both of us in our bathtub. And so God was really changing my heart within months from the inside out on a personal level. And I no longer had to rely on things to fill a void or numb the pain. I just relied on his love, Christ's word, and his mercy. And the greatest part is we got married 2 months later.
God humbled me so much and broke me down, broke me to pieces. But not only that, he began to reshape me and put me back together the way that he wanted me to be. And everything started to change for me. My thoughts, my actions, you know, the way that I grew up, that old man started to, you know, completely change. The things that I used to do, I didn't want to do anymore. The Holy Spirit was just completely transforming my life. It was simple for me. If Jesus was true, then, you know, he was the most important thing in this world. He was the most significant person to ever walk on this earth. And so, Jesus being true, he deserves our worship and adoration, my worship and adoration.
Our testimony is not really about us. It's about God and his character. How he resurrected our lives.
Wow. Wow. All of us spend time now on a certain day once a year. We just celebrate resurrection. The truth is, if you read the biblical account of the resurrection, almost nobody believed it at first. That can't really happen. And the truth of the resurrection is it can. It can happen in the places that are most dead and gone in our lives. Today, I think God's inviting us to believe that there's a victory that Jesus can give because he is the resurrection life for the battles that we face. But we're going to have to believe. We're going to have to leave how we've been thinking about that relationship, our patterns, our priorities, our approach. We're going to have to leave. Because I think what Jesus spoke to Martha is what Jesus is speaking to us, because he is alive today. He's speaking by his Spirit to you and me right now. And he's saying this. He's like, hey, Sean, I am the resurrection and the life. I know you're looking at what's past in a family member or a friendship or place with God that you thought, I've just messed it up too much. It's dead and gone. And it's like, no, he who believes in me, even though he dies, he's going to live. And whoever lives and believes in me, in the end, you're never going to end in death. Hey, Sean, do you believe this? I think that's what God's asking of us. And I tell you, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but would you be willing to put everything you are on me and let me take you where you don't think you can go? And I stopped at that thought because I just see Tyshawn and Jasmine, and they're part of one of our small groups on Sunday morning. They're amazing people. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I just feel like something what they said is how we all feel, where we finally get to our knees and like, I don't know anymore. I don't know how to do this. I mean, Jesus, yes. Yeah, if it's you, please help me right now, because I can't do this anymore. This is not working. And I think that's what they did, and they've got this amazing resurrected relationship in life, and it's not just marriage, but it's in all sorts of other places. You know what God's speaking to you, and it's always this balance between, God, this seems impossible, and you're saying believe for it, and I'm just going to take a step with you, and you're going to have to balance this out. And the Bible even says in Romans 10, this balance between the impossible and supernatural and just the practical thing I could do right now. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Last time I checked, I can't help somebody else unless I can't help someone else become alive if I haven't become alive, right? I need it first and foremost. And the Bible says, here's this balance. Do something really practical today. Just say, I believe. Yes. And believe it in your heart. Don't believe it in religious ways. Believe it. Believe it in every relationship that you're living. He is the resurrection and he is with you. So, I want to just wrap up with a really practical moment that is all about the supernatural that God can do. I'm just going to ask you, if every person would do this, would you just pull out that Easter survey one more time? We finish every Easter with this because we want to make it personal. There's A, B, C, and D there. And again, if every person, every student, if you just grab one, and would you do this for this moment? A means I already truly believe in Jesus. I'm there. I'm walking on the tightrope. I just want to encourage you, man. Praise the Lord. If that's you and you check A today, would you make sure you haven't stopped halfway through the tightrope? Keep stepping in faith. Don't stop. The other side is more than you can possibly ask for, man. Don't stop. Next week, we're going to finish the Lazarus story, and we're going to take note that you can truly have new life, but truly be bound up by a lot of old things. And we're going to talk about how do you change that. What does Jesus say are the most important things to be about in life? Life goals. We're going to talk about that next week. B is today, man. B is today for so many of us. I'd like to begin and believe in Jesus today. This is my day. I'm letting him in. I'm letting him in. Wherever you want to go, Jesus, I'm on your back. Take me. I don't know how we're going to get there. Take me. All you got to do is believe today. And for some of us, it's believe again today. This is an important one for you today. I want to encourage you to take that step. Some of you, you're at a C. And I want to encourage you to go to B, because I tell you what, you never know when the next battle is going to happen. But if you are a C, hey, this church is for you. This whole church is built on the idea that what God has done for us, we had to hear about, someone needed to lead us in. You are always welcome here. I hope you'll come next week and hear what Jesus says next in what he wants to do in life. And then finally, some of you might be a D. It's like, nah, I don't think so. Well, hey, I'm not trying to get in your face about it. I just think it's probably a good moment to be honest about the reality of what in the battles you're facing. It's probably an important moment to just say, okay, honestly, this is where I'm at. And it's okay with you. I'm going to keep praying for you. Because last Easter, we had someone say, hey, Pastor Sean, we do this every year. The last time I came, I was a D. This Easter, B. Boom. I'm there. I finally see the dead came alive to me. So I'm praying for you, and I just want to wrap up with a moment of prayer. And part of the prayer is going to be Ephesians 1. It says, I also pray that you will understand, because that's my prayer. I pray you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Man, let's not celebrate Easter. Let's live it. Let's live out the resurrection. And so, as you've taken this, would you just hold this in your hand, and we're just going to say a prayer together right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I just thank you for what you've done in our lives, and I pray that in this moment, you would speak to each one of us, and Lord, lead us in this moment of believing. Actually, I heard someone repeat in the prayer. Would you out loud repeat this prayer with me if it's your first time or if it's just a renewal? Would you repeat this with me right now? Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you were resurrected for my victory. Please forgive me of my unbelief. Forgive me of my sin and selfishness. Come be the Lord of my life. Bring my relationships a new life in you. Thank you for being with me forever. And everyone said, Amen.